Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Herring Fleet remains on two-hour notice today, waiting for the first opening of the 2013 season. Samples taken yesterday found 10.7% mature roe northwest of Beely Rock, with 3.1% immature roe. The average fish weight was 172 grams. Managers like to see a mature roe percentage of at least 10% before calling an opening. Another sample taken southeast of Inner Point showed 9.8% mature roe, 2.1% immature roe, and an average fish weight of 153 grams. Vessel and aerial surveys are expected to continue today, as is test sampling. An opening could be called within as little as 2 hours advance notice. The Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, is closing down a residential drug and alcohol treatment program. The closure was announced Tuesday and comes after massive reductions in federal funding known as sequestration. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
The Bill Brady Healing Center has existed in its current form since 1996. About 50 patients graduate from the 40-day program every year.
I know that April 30th is our last day.
Dave Johnson has been a residential manager at the Healing Center for about 4.5 years. When he clocked out at 2 on Monday afternoon, he was told to return at 4 for a mandatory meeting. That is when SEARCH officials broke the news that the center would close in about a month's time.
When it was first told to us, I was bitter and I was angry. And I was thinking negatively.
The last 24 hours, he says, have included a lot of reflection.
Last night, I couldn't sleep. And, you know, today I woke up and I feel a lot better. There's two ways to look at it. You can look at it as a total negative, but there's another way to look at it as another door is going to open.
Johnson is one of about 22 people who work at the Bill Brady Healing Center. In a statement released Wednesday, SEARCH says some of them will be reassigned, others will be furloughed, a temporary unpaid leave, basically, and others will be let go completely. The closure is estimated to save SEARCH about $1.5 million every year. The money will chip away at a funding cut of more than $3.5 million imposed by sequestration, the name given to cuts that automatically kicked in on March 1st when Congress failed to agree on a federal budget. SEARCH CEO Charles Clement says the organization has dealt with short-term funding problems before, but he calls sequestration the new normal.
For all intents and purposes, it looks like the sequestration is going to be a permanent reality.
He says that means the organization can't just tighten its belt for 6 months and ride out the storm. At Bill Brady, SEARCH is still figuring out who will lose their job outright and who will be moved to other parts of the organization. Clement says the dozen or so patients currently in the program will be seen through to completion in mid-April, and then the staff will have 2 weeks to wrap up loose ends and close the doors. This latest round of budget cuts comes after SEARCH spent a year digging out from a $4 million deficit. Clement says the organization just got back to breaking even when sequestration hit. And with that new $3.5 million reduction from the federal government, the conversations continue among upper management on how to keep digging out of the hole.
They're a combination between these sort of, you know, financial conversations and these subjective value conversations. And, you know, we're sort of working it through the best we can, considering that, you know, we've essentially, you know, for all intents and purposes, we're being held over a barrel that we have to make these decisions in a very, very short time frame.
Back to Dave Johnson, the residential manager who is looking at losing his job.
My heart is telling me to go back to Angoon.
Johnson, who is now 32, grew up in the Admiralty Island community. He says for the last 5 years, he's been part of a team that helps complete strangers heal. And as he tries to heal from the sudden end to all of that, he says it's a good reason to be close to family.
I wouldn't say I'm at peace. I mean, you're seeing the cover. There's a lot. I'm really in shock, mainly. This was the best job I've ever had. I can honestly say that.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
SEARCH is also suspending its training program for community health aides for the rest of the fiscal year. Community health aides provide first response in villages and smaller communities, often acting as medics by stabilizing patients before they're transported to larger facilities. In a statement issued Tuesday, Search Chief Executive Charles Clement tried to dispel rumors that the program is going away entirely. He said community health aides who serve villages will continue to be part of Search's work. Clement said the staff who teach the training program are also health care providers themselves, and that most will continue to have work at Search.
They're teachers that are mid-level practitioners, and most of those providers will be seeing patients. They'll transition from being teachers to being providers again.
Search spokesman Michael Jenkins says about four people work in the community health aid training program. The program's suspension is effective immediately and lasts until October 1st, when Search begins a new fiscal year. It's back to the drawing board for a city plan to change the way landlords pay utilities. The Sitka Assembly last night rejected a measure dealing with owner accounts. Those are utility accounts held by landlords. When a rental property is vacant, the utilities revert back to the property owner. When that happens right now, landlords only pay for electrical service. Under the changes the city proposed, they would also pay water, sewer, and half of the trash bill. Sue Riggs has owned a home that includes a small rental unit for 33 years.
I can understand charges for electricity as used, especially during winter, when you don't want the pipes to freeze up and everything. And I've always paid that. But I do not feel the charges for the other services are justified, as they are not being used.
City Finance Director Jay Sweeney said there are changes to cover access to the service and for the staff and facilities that keep the city's water infrastructure working. But Assembly members also had concerns. Matt Hunter brought up two situations he sees as similar, but with very different utility rates.
If someone owns a home and then leaves and gets a vacation rate, it is below what these owner rates would be. So you have an empty house, and just because you live there and you don't rent it, you're paying less than someone who has an empty house and intends to rent it, but it's still an empty house. Some people are paying more because they rent it, and other people pay less because they're on vacation.
The total conversation took about 40 minutes. In the end, city staff agreed to rework the measure and bring it back later. Assembly members voted to reject the version they had in front of them. Separately last night, the Assembly changed its mind on a vote it took March 12th about an ice machine. At its regular meeting, Assembly members denied permission for the Harbor Department to apply for a state grant to buy a flake ice machine. The Harbor Department wanted the machine to help sport anglers get flake ice for their catch. But testimony and other information before the Assembly suggested that sport fishers could get their ice from seafood processors and that the machine would require a lot of upkeep. That's not the case. Proponents of the machine told the Assembly members last night, sport and charter fishermen cannot get ice from processors. And they argue that ice machines are more energy efficient than the Assembly believed. City Government Relations Director Marlene Campbell mentioned that even if the city wins the grant, it could still reject the money. The Assembly voted 5-2 to rescind its earlier rejection of the grant application. And finally, from last night's Assembly meeting, the Assembly had planned to consider whether it should protest the liquor license at Victoria's Poorhouse. An email message from a city tax accountant reported the downtown bar and the hotel it's attached to owed $90,000 to the city in back taxes. Cities can protest liquor licenses for establishments with more than $200 in back taxes. The item was pulled from last night's agenda. Mayor Mim McConnell says Victoria's Poorhouse is trying to work out a deal with the city for repayment. Last night's meeting is actually still going on. Assembly members ran up against their mandatory 10:30 p.m. adjournment time, so last night's meeting is still technically in recess. The Assembly will reconvene this afternoon at 4:45 p.m. The only item of business left is to hold an executive session regarding a personnel complaint. So far, city officials have not said what the complaint is or against whom it was filed. Governor Sean Parnell says the Senate's version of his oil tax reform bill meets the guiding principles he had in mind when it was introduced. But he says the House of Representatives should take its own look at the legislation and make any changes members deem necessary. Parnell says Senate Bill 21 meets his objectives for the overhaul. Namely, he says it simplifies the overall oil tax system, protects Alaskans at low oil prices, encourages new production, and makes the state competitive with other oil-producing areas.
I'm urging those House members to look at the proposal that's there, look at SB 21 as it is now, and the dials or knobs that are there. And if you think that the current system as passed to you as House members needs adjustment, then work those knobs and dials and come up with what you think is a competitive tax system, one that is fair to Alaskans, and one will inspire new production. But use those knobs and levers that are there. Don't try to make it more complicated by putting in new levers, new knobs, new dials.
Senate Bill 21 raises the base tax rate charged to oil companies from 25% to 35%. It eliminates some tax credits currently offered to oil companies, but replaces them with a $5 credit for every barrel of oil produced. It also would eliminate the progressivity features of the current ACES tax system, which raises taxes as oil prices go up. The overall effect is a tax cut estimated at $6 billion over 5 years for oil companies. Opponents say without any guarantee of new production, the bill is a massive giveaway. Senate Bill 21 officially cleared the Senate last week after a vote on reconsideration. The margin was as narrow as possible once again, with 11 Republicans supporting the measure and all 7 Democrats and 2 moderate Republicans opposing it. Parnell made his comments at Thursday's Juneau Chamber of Commerce luncheon. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org.